fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I want to continue today to talk about some Advent themes given to us really from sections of the Catechism of the Catholic Church that are just rich and help us understand some of the key themes for the season of Advent that we're in. If this is the first time you're tuning in the program this week, this is the first week of Advent. That is the first season of the church year. The Catholic Church has seasons within it that we celebrate, and those seasons represent preparation for and reflection on and celebrating the significant dimensions of Christ, of Jesus' life here on earth and his victory, his paschal mystery and his ultimate victory over the powers of sin and death. And this is all about, Advent's about preparing for two things, preparing for our celebration of Christmas. Everybody knows what Christmas is, that it exists, and it's a time of giving presents, and Christians have trees and that sort of thing. But not everybody knows what it's all about. And what it's all about is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That is what God himself, God's only Son, the only Son of God, took on human flesh for the sake of the salvation of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. And so we celebrate the miracle of the incarnation, and we reflect on what that means, that God took on human flesh. And as I've talked about on the program this week, it's the only way we could be saved. It's the only way we could be set free from the powers of sin and death and defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil, and be able to enter into and share in God's own life, which ultimately was our destiny. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. My thoughts on these sections of the Catechism are all there. You can listen to them whenever it's convenient for you, either right on your computer or put them on whatever device works for you to be able to listen to them at your leisure. I've been looking at a section from the Catechism that talks about the profession of faith, that is the Creed. And the Creed is broken down in different sections here in the Catechism. And chapter 2 talks about this: I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. And then it breaks it down further in Article 7, from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. That's one of the things we know about Jesus, that he's the Lord of all, that he came the first time as a lamb to lay down his life, to save us from our sin and make it possible for us to become children of God, to enter into his kingdom. But we also know he's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the definitive reality of Jesus' lordship and power and complete authority over all the Father's creation, all of it made by him and for him, is going to be revealed in its complete sense, and every opposition and resistance to Jesus, to the Father, is going to be dealt with, is going to be destroyed. They're all going to be destroyed. And the church exists now at a time, this time of mercy between the two comings of Christ, when she offers mercy to the world and helps us prepare for that day. So the second part I've been talking about all week of this season of Advent is to say, are you ready? I remember a line from Bob Dylan, whenever Advent comes around, I might even have said this in previous years, I don't remember a song he wrote, I think it's called Are You Ready? He said, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you where you ought to be? Will he knows you when he sees you? Or will he say, depart from me? Are you ready? Advent is a season of readiness. Looking at paragraph 671, this section now, is called Until All Things Are Subjected to Him. The first section we talked about, Christ already reigns through the church. And he's going to reign through the church until everything is subjected to him. Let's read what the church understands that to mean. Though already present in his church, Christ's reign is nevertheless yet to be fulfilled with power and great glory by the king's return to the earth. That's a beautiful and simple and direct summary, very clear summary, of what this season's about and what we're preparing for. Christ's reign is nevertheless yet to be fulfilled with power and great glory. He's already reigning in heaven at the right hand of the Father. The kingdom of God has been established on earth, imperfectly present in the church, who becomes a sacrament, a sign of Christ's reign, and the means by which people come to salvation, come to connect with Jesus' reign. But when he comes again, he's going to come with full power and with great glory. Full power and great glory. No one's going to miss it. and his actions will be final and definitive, establishing, in obedience to the Father, establishing the Father's ultimate purposes for him and his mission that he's going to accomplish. That's going to happen, I love this line, when the King returns to the earth. Why do we celebrate Advent? Because we want to be ready. We know living in this world, it's very easy to fall asleep. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to get lazy spiritually. It's easy to fall into temptation and fall back into habit patterns of sin and conformity to the world and lose sight of what really matters. But the church goes to each one of us. I have the image sometimes like the church is coming to shake me and to wake me up. Say, wake up, wake up. He's coming. He's coming again. The King is coming to the earth. And it's easy for us to, it's way down there somewhere. And I've got such important things to think about. I've got a big business meeting today. I've got goals I want to achieve. I've got things I want to do with my life. And that's what's preoccupying my mind. Here's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who lives with a clear understanding of this first line I just read today, that the King's going to come again. And all the great teachers today, I find this interesting, that old book in the 80s that came out, or 90s, called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, kind of a business guru, I forgot his name at the moment, talking about some really helpful things to understand about how to really become successful at the work you do. And there's some really good principles in it. And one of them is, begin with the end in view. Why? Because it's wise. Where are we going? What am I trying to accomplish? How am I going to know if I'm making progress if I don't know where it is I want to go, right? Well, guess what? That's a Christian idea, essentially. It's the life of a disciple. We begin with the end in view. What's the end? We're going to meet the Lord. We're either going to be here when he comes again in glory, or when we pass through from this life, our life, my personal life, I'm headed to meet Jesus. It's unavoidable. It's going to happen. And when I meet him, he's either going to be coming in glory now on earth, or if I die before he returns, I will stand before him and kneel before him as the judge of the universe. That's the end I want to be ready for. I think we get stuck because we're tempted and the world has lots of distractions for us to set our hearts on intermediate things. And we might be rightly aligned to get to that goal. I want to have this job. I want to live in this location. I want to have this size bank account. I want to accomplish this goal in sports, whatever it is. And it's okay to have goals like that. As long as they're consistent with God's purpose and plan, there's nothing wrong with that. It's normal. But what really allows a person to be the kind of banker, for example, they're meant to be, the kind of athlete they were meant to be, the kind of parent they were meant to be, the kind of writer or entertainer or whatever it is that you end up doing using your natural gifts. The only way to know how to do it in a way that is consistent with what you're made and it's going to prepare you to meet the Lord is to remember that life is short. It's a passing shadow. Scripture says like a breath. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Very soon, all the secondary goals and the tertiary goals that I'm consumed with day and night, they're going to be meaningless. They're not going to mean a single thing. You're not even going to care about them because there's only one thing that matters. I'm thinking of two stories of two wise people. There was a woman we met a number of years ago, was on one of our television shows, who was from Western Michigan, the Grand Rapids area. As a young girl, was involved in theater and dance and musical theater and really wanted to go to New York, to Broadway, to perform. And when she was young, her parents said no, she wasn't ready for it. And an opportunity came her way and the time was right. She was old enough and the parents felt like she was prepared enough and she had invitations and opportunities. She actually ended up going to Broadway and having a significant role in the play Les Miserables. But she told us something that her very wise mother said to her and showed her just before she left. Her mother had a big thimble of thread, and she held on to that end of the thread. The daughter had a hold of the end of the thread, and the mother was holding the thimble, like with a pencil running through it, and told the daughter to walk as far as she could until the string came to the end. And it was a big thimble, and it went a long way. It was outside. She went all the way down the sidewalk. It was a long way away. And then the mother said, okay, now I want you to wind it up. Take a good look. Take a good look at where we are. And at the end of that thread that the daughter was holding, the mother had taken a black marker and just made a mark about the size of the head of that marker on the edge of the thread. And she told her daughter, she said, look at that mark. That mark is your life on earth. Your whole life on earth. Now look at the rest of that thread. That's your life in eternity. So don't just live for that little mark, but live for eternity. That's wisdom. Now the devil's strategy is to work overtime to get us to fix our gaze on this world only. And if we do that, we're not going to see clearly. And we're not going to be ready. We're not going to produce what the Lord wants us to produce in this world. We're not going to fulfill our destiny in the way that we can and should, and in the depth of our being, probably want to. Now, this paragraph goes on and says, the reign of Jesus says, this reign is still under attack by the evil powers, even though they have been defeated definitively by Christ's Passover, that is, his passing through death on the cross in the land of the dead, raised to new life in the resurrection, ascending into glory. I said, until everything is subjected to him, until there be realized new heavens and new earth in which justice dwells, the Pilgrim Church, in her sacraments and her institutions, which belong to this present age, carries the mark of this world which will pass, and she herself takes her place among the creatures, which groan and travail yet and await the revelation of the sons of God. The church herself is not perfected. Christ is present in the church. The church is a sacrament, an instrument. The church's institutions Christ has established and uses, the priesthood, baptism, Eucharist, confession, all the sacraments, the preaching of the gospel, the exercise of the authority and the guidance of the magisterium. This is the grace of Jesus, imperfectly lived out in individual people's lives, but protected by Christ to be able to communicate these truths and to pass on this life throughout its existence on earth. It says she takes a place among the creatures who groan and travail. That is, we're groaning and travailing for the final revelation of God's plan and purpose in your life and mine. That is why Christians pray above all in the Eucharist to hasten Christ's return by saying to him, Maranatha, O our Lord, come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. That's the cry of the church. We always have one eye on the future kingdom. That will help us stay focused on how to live today. It's not a matter of having your head and your heart up in the clouds somewhere and you don't have your feet on earth and you're no good, you're no earthly good. No, you know where you're headed, which means you know why you're here. In that understanding, you know why you're here. And so everything you do will be affected by that gaze, by keeping the end in view. That's what Advent is meant to help us do. Friends, let's do that. Let's help each other do that and keep our eye on what really matters. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.